Perhaps it's providential, I do not know. But I have prepared the message that I'm to preach this morning, especially for this television broadcast. I want you to listen carefully, and I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will be pleased to bless this message to your heart. The preacher's here, but that really means nothing. God Almighty can use any man to preach His gospel. And the truth is here, and that's important. But we must have the Spirit of the living God. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit of God that gives life. And I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. I believe, and therefore I speak. I do believe. I do believe, and therefore I speak. Now here's our text. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians 4, 13, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak." Several years ago, I preached a message. I don't remember where it was. But after the service, I was standing back by the door, and the people were leaving the church building. And a man came by and took me by the hand, and in all seriousness, looked me in the eye, and he said, "Do you really believe what you're preaching?" And I hesitated a moment, and then with the same seriousness, and with the same strength of purpose, I said to him, "Yes, sir, I do. I believe what I'm preaching." And this is what Paul is saying right here in our text. He's quoting David from Psalm 116, verse 10. David said in Psalm 116, verse 10, "I believed, and therefore have I spoken." And Paul's saying the same thing. He said, "I believe." And that's what the man was asking me. He said, "Do you really believe what you're preaching? Do you really believe it?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I do. I really believe it. I believe, and therefore have I spoken." I quote from David and Paul both. Now, that's from the Old Testament, Psalm 116, verse 10. David said, "I believed, and therefore have I spoken." And the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, 13 says, "We, having the same spirit of faith," having the same spirit of faith, according as David wrote, "I believe, and therefore have I spoken, I also believe. I also believe, and therefore I speak." Actually, a man who does not believe God in his own heart, a man who does not believe the Word of God in his own heart, has no right or reason to speak on spiritual matters. He has no right to speak, no cause to speak, no reason to speak. He should be silent. For the Scripture says, "The things of God knoweth no man." The things of God knoweth no man, no natural man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. These things, we believe them, but we believe them not because of natural wisdom, because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to it. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually understood. And the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. But we have received the Spirit of God, and He has taught us the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. I believe, therefore I speak. You say, what do you believe? Well, I don't want to frighten you by telling you how many points I've got this morning, but I want you to listen to each of them as they unfold. First of all, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I'll tell you how strongly I believe that. I believe the Bible's infallible. And I know the meaning of the word. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It's without error. It's unbroken. And it is the verbally inspired word of Almighty God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And all Scripture, Old and New Testament, Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it's God-breathed. I believe that, and therefore I speak. The Bible is the Word of God. I've heard men say the Bible contains the Word of God. Well, the Bible does contain direct quotations from God, direct commandments from God, God Himself speaking, and Christ our Lord speaking. But the Bible is the Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God. And furthermore, the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. Every man must bow and submit his wisdom to the Word of God, and I mean in all things. Isaiah wrote in chapter 8, verse 20, if any man speak not according to the Scriptures, it's because there's no light in him. If any man declares and contends for anything that does not appear in the Word of God, it's because there's no light in it. The heavens and the creation declare the glory of God and the power of God and the majesty of God. Listen to me. But only the Scriptures, only the Word of God, and only through the Word of God can any man know the redemptive character of God. You can't know who God is. You can't know God's will. You can't know God's character. You can't know God's purpose. You can't know God's decrees only as they're revealed in His Word. The Word is imperative, absolutely essential. Apart from the Word of God, no man knows God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and therefore I speak. And then I believe, my friend, that God created the heavens and the earth. I have no doubt in my mind about that. I believe that God created all things. Hebrews says in chapter 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, you're welcome to the many theories of evolution or whatever you want to believe, but I'll tell you this. It's impossible for you to believe evolution and believe God. You can't do it. I used to say that you can't believe evolution and believe the Bible. Well, I'll be a little stronger than that today, and I've thought this through carefully. You can't believe evolution and believe God. You make God a liar when you believe that man came from an animal. Because God says plainly that He created them male and female. And He created them in His own image. And He said all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's the Word of God. I believe that, and therefore I've spoken. And then thirdly, I believe that God created man in His own image, holy and upright. The Scripture says, God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And he created them male and female, and he made them upright and holy, and they sought out many inventions. And God made Adam not an infant, but a full-grown man, not an imbecile, not a caveman. Adam was a genius. Adam was created in the image of God. And God brought Adam the animals and had him name each one of them, and the name He gave them is the name they bear right now. God gave man great power, great wisdom, and great dominion. Have dominion over the whole earth, He said, over the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea and the beast of the forest. He made a covenant with man. He made a law with man. He said, multiply and replenish the earth. He said, subdue the earth. He said, have dominion over the earth. But there's one tree in the midst of the garden. Do not eat of it, lest you die. I asked my Bible school class this morning, I said, what kind of tree was it? Little boy said, an apple tree. I said, where'd you learn that? He said, I don't know. I said, well, it's not in the Scripture. We don't know what kind of tree it was. But we know this, that tree in the midst of the garden. Now, here's what you must understand, that man was great, but God was greater. That man was a king, but God's King of Kings. that man had power and dominion and wisdom, but God is greater, and man is in subjection to God. And that covenant was made with man to test his willingness to remain in subjection to the living God. That tree was symbolic of the fact that though man was great, God is greater. And though man is powerful, God is more powerful. And though man is a king, he's still in subjection to God. And God made a covenant with him. Leave it alone. Do not eat thereof, lest you die. I believe, and therefore I've spoken. I believe that man fell, that he abided not long in that perfect state. But like Satan of old, his heart was lifted up with pride. Somehow he was tempted and tested by Satan. He listened to the voice of Satan and he listened to the voice of Eve. And here was the proposition. You'll be like God. You'll be like God. Satan said, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll exalt my throne into the sides of the north. I'll be like God. And that's the way he appealed to Adam and Eve. He said, you'll be like God. You'll be like God. And when man saw that the tree was pleasing to the eye and to the taste and desired to make one wise, he took the forbidden fruit and he fell from his holy state. He fell into death and darkness and sin. He died spiritually. And though Adam continued to live for over 800 years physically, he still died, nevertheless, spiritually. Adam knew fear. He never knew fear before. A holy, perfect man knows no fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. And he ran from God. He knew shame. A perfect man knows no shame. A holy man knows no shame. But Adam knew shame. He was naked. Adam knew hate. A perfect holy man knows no hate. He's perfect love as his God is. The woman you gave me, it's her fault. The king is now a slave of sin. The prince is now a pauper. The holy man is now unholy. The living man is a dead man spiritually and a dying man physically. Adam fell. Adam fell. That's what the scripture teaches. Now, your evolutionist teaches that man was created low and he's climbing up. The Bible teaches and God says that man was created in perfection and he came down. And by the Redeemer and by the purpose of God and the grace of God, man is restored to perfection in redemption, in salvation. Well, let's go on. I believe that Adam was not only an individual person or a private person. Adam was a representative of all men. That's what the scripture teaches. That his story is my story. What happened to him happened to me. You see, God only created one man, and he created all men in that one man. Even Eve was not taken from the dust. She was taken from the side of Adam. Adam was a representative of all men. When he stood, the whole human race stood. That's what the scripture teaches. And when Adam sinned, the whole race sinned. And when Adam fell, the whole race fell. And when Adam died, the whole race died. Now listen to the word, Romans 5. You read Romans 5, read 1 Corinthians 15. By one man, sin entered the world. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all sinned. All sinned. When Adam sinned, we sinned. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. In Adam, all died. By man came death. You see, the two Adams, two representative persons. There's the first Adam, the second Adam. The word Adam means man. It means red earth. It means one taken from the red earth. It means man. And the first Adam is of the earth, earthy. The second Adam, man, is the Lord from heaven. In Adam we die. In Christ we're made alive. By man came death. By man came the resurrection. As we're born the image of the earthy Adam, we shall bear the image of the heavenly Adam. That's what the scripture teaches. Representation, imputation, substitution. And when Adam fell, the whole race fell. And death and judgment and condemnation, read Romans 5, passed upon all men from father to son, from father to son, and on down the line. All darkness, disease, death, and damnation were brought into the world and upon the sons of Adam by Adam's fall. Being born of Adam, we were born in sin. I believe, therefore I've spoken. That's what Scripture teaches. You cannot reject imputed guilt and have imputed righteousness. The Scripture says in Romans 5:19, by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. But God. Oh, here's the good news. Here's the good news. But God. We have a black picture. We have a race plunged into darkness. We have a race plunged into death. We have a race plunged into a broken will in bondage. We have a race plunged into helplessness, without hope, without God. But God. Here's the good news. But God. The good news is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. But God. But God. Even though we were wretched sinners and rebels and traitors and shaking our fist in the face of God and lifting our hand against God and seeking to dethrone God, but God, who is rich in mercy. For His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. But God, again in Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The good news is not found in us. It's found in God, but God. But we didn't do anything but remain in our dead state, remain in our darkness, lie in our spiritual graves. But God. He did something. We didn't love Him. He loved us. We didn't choose Him. He chose us. We didn't come to Him. He came to us. We didn't call on Him. He called on us. We didn't purpose a plan. God purposed it. God purposed and determined to have a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And it will be. It will be. He said, I've purposed it, and it will be. God has purposed to redeem a people from this fallen race out of every tribe and kindred and nation under heaven. He's going to populate glory with a people just like His Son. Every one of them are going to be like Christ. And all of this work is going to be done in a way that will glorify God and give Him all the praise and be in keeping with His holiness and His justice and His mercy and His love. I believe that. And therefore I've spoken. And no need to apologize for God. God doesn't need my apologies, nor does He need my defense. I need His defense. I believe, therefore I speak. Now listen to me. I believe that this purpose to redeem, this covenant of grace, actually preceded that covenant of works. This purpose to redeem actually was planned and purposed before man ever fell. Before God ever created the old heavens, He purposed to have a new heaven and new earth. Before He created Adam, He purposed to redeem a people out of that fallen race. You see, this salvation in Jesus Christ was in the heart and will of God before He made the world and before man fell. That's what the Scripture says. Listen, you say, where did you get that? Well, listen. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before the foundations of the world were ever laid, Christ was the Lamb slain in the mind and purpose of God. Listen, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. He said God chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world were ever laid. And again He said, known unto God are all His works from the beginning. And again, God says, I will declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand. I will do all my pleasure. Adam fell. Nothing takes God by surprise. Adam sinned. Nothing takes God by surprise. And before man stood on this earth, and before he was ever tried and tested, as some say, on probation, before he lifted his hand against God, before he fell, God ordained to save a people out of Adam's race. He took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on himself the seed of Abraham, or the nature of the sons of Adam. I believe that. The Scripture teaches that. No need to apologize for God. We're not in the business of apologizing. We're in the business of proclaiming. We're not in the business of explaining God either. You say, explain that. God didn't send me to explain Him. He sent me to proclaim Him and preach Him. I believe Adam fell, and Almighty God made the first announcement of redemption that very day. That very day that Adam watered in his sins and ran and hid from God and covered his nakedness with a fig leaf apron of self-righteousness, God made an announcement. He didn't have to call a council meeting in heaven. The council had already met. And God said, the seed of woman is going to bruise the serpent's head. Seed of woman, that's the virgin-born Son of God. Then God slew an animal and covered Adam with coats of skin. Innocent had to die to cover the guilty. That's a picture of Christ dying for our sins. And then all through the Old Testament, God illustrated the person and work of Christ, the Lamb of God. When those two boys, Cain and Abel, came to bring their sacrifices or sin offering before God, one of them brought the works of the flesh. One of them brought the efforts and merits of his own accomplishments. And the other brought the blood of the Lamb, the firstling of the flock, and slew it, put the blood on the altar, picturing the Lamb of God dying on Calvary's cross. God delivered Israel out of Egypt. He told them to kill a lamb, put the blood on the door, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And then through the book of Leviticus, God gave the tabernacle where He met man, where man met Him. He gave the atonement as the great old high priest took the blood of the lamb, went under the veil into the Holy of Holies, and put the blood on the mercy seat of glory covering the broken law. That's Christ. All the way through the Old Testament, He lifted up a brazen serpent. He smote a rock. He sent a David. He sent a Melchizedek. He did all these things, picturing to us the person and work of His dear Son, our great substitute and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was ordained of God to be our Savior before the world ever began. Before there was a sinner, there was a substitute. Before there was a covenant of works, there was a covenant of grace. Before there was a fall, there was a Savior designated and ordained to restore man's soul. Yes, sir, I believe that. That's what God's Word teaches. And then I believe this, in the fullness of time, at the exact time on God's clock, God sent forth into this world His beloved Son, made of a woman. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He's the express image of God. He's the revelation of God. He's the Word of God. He's equal with God. And He came into this world. He who made woman was made of a woman. It was His law under which He was made to redeem them that were born under the law. He was born lowly, and He earned His living by the sweat of His brow. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of God's law, the Levitical law, the moral law, the civil law, the law of the home, and every other law God Almighty has in His Word. In every jot and tittle, He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. You see, this salvation, this restoration for men of Adam's race, purposed and planned by God, has to be in keeping with God's holy character. And man, the law was given to man, and to be accepted of God, man's got to keep it. And we can't keep it. We do not have the ability to keep it. We do not have the strength or power to keep it. We do not have the life to keep it. But Christ can. Christ can and did. And as a man, He fulfilled it. And then in the body, He went to the cross, and all of our sins were laid on Him, and He died as our sin offering and our sacrifice and our substitute. He paid all the debt I owe. He honored God's holy law, and He fully, completely satisfied God Almighty's justice. That's what He came to do. He said, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Effectually, sufficiently, in keeping with and in honoring of God's holy law and justice. Now, I believe this, and therefore I speak. I believe it's salvation from sin for any man. I don't care if you're a drunk or a gambler or a blasphemer or a harlot or what you are. that salvation from sin and eternal life is yours by faith in Jesus Christ, not by religion and not by works, but by looking to Christ. That's what Scripture teaches. He that believeth on the Son hath life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord out of distress and out of need shall call on his name, shall be saved. But how are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear unless somebody tells the truth? I believe, and therefore I've spoken. And I believe that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again. And his resurrection is the receipt that God gave to this whole world and this whole universe that he accepted what Christ paid. Christ paid it, and he was buried as our scapegoat, and he rose again as our justifier. And that resurrection says God's name is stamped on the receipt, paid in full, and I'm satisfied. Come up here and sit down, he said to his son, on my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. He's the only mediator between God and men. And all that the Father hath given him will come to him. God's going to have a people. He's going to save them out of a sinful race. And they're going to free folks like me and you. Why not you? Why not me? Christ's coming again. He's coming again. There's going to be a new heaven and new earth. And unto them that look for him will he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And every believer in Christ can stand and challenge heaven, earth, and hell and say, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? We can have confidence in that gospel. That's good news, because it's not something you're doing for God. God doesn't need anything you can do. In the flesh, no man can please God. It's something God does for you. God does for you. All right, this message is on a cassette tape. I believe, and therefore I've spoken. Along with another one I'll bring next week on the great question. If you want it, $2 donation, send it in. We'll send you the tape by return mail. Until next week at the same time, God bless you, everyone.